Daf is Shabbos Daf Ayin Tes. We left off on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis. We are at the Brisa, about 7-8 lines from the bottom of the page, on Daf Ayin Ches Amud Beis. So says the Brisa, Tan Rabbanan, Hamosi Shtarchov Ad Shelo Paro Chayev Misho Paro Patur. We're continuing to discuss the various shiurim of Hotza'ah. So we were discussing yesterday, based on the Mishnah, how much cloth, how much or, how much paper a person is chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. So the last discussion we had was that when you have the receipt from the toll, from paying the toll, it may depend on whether you've already paid the toll or you haven't yet paid it, if it's still chashuv to you. So now, continuing along those same themes, what about if you have a shtar chov, but it's already been used? I mean, it's already been paid up. So if it's ad shalo paro, it hasn't yet been paid up, so chayiv, then you're certainly chayiv for carrying it, because it's something that's very chashuv, it's something that's certainly going to be very important. It will enable you to collect the money. But misha paro, pater. But once it's already been paid up, then you're pater, because then it has no value for you anymore. You've already gotten paid. Rabbi Yehuda omer, af misha paro chayiv, mipresha tzarech lo. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, even after you've already paid it up, you're still going to be chayiv, because it's still tzarech lo, it's still something that that a person is going to need. And we'll see why in a second. That's good, that it's still going to be considered something that, for whatever reason, a person is going to require, and therefore he's going to be chayiv for carrying it, because it's considered something that's very chashuv. So says Mar Mai Benayhu, and over here Mai Benayhu doesn't mean lamai nafkamina between them. We know exactly what the nafkamina is. The nafkamina is if you carry a shtarchov that's already been paid up, are you chayiv or are you not chayiv? So Mai Benayhu over here means Mai Pluktaihu. Rashi says Umatam Nosan Devrayim. What's the logic? What's the nekudas hamachlokas? What are they really arguing about? So the Gemara is going to have four suggestions as to what exactly the Nekudas HaMachlokas is between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakama says once it's already paid, you're pater, and Rabbi Yehuda says once it's already paid, you're still going to be chayiv. So it's possibility number one. Amar Rav Yosef, Asu Lishol Shtar Perua Ika Benayhu. The nafkamina is whether you're allowed to keep the argument is whether one is allowed to have a shtar perua in the first place. Mm-hmm. Rabbanan Savri also lishol shtar perua. Rabbi Yehuda Savri mutal lishol shtar perua. The Rabbanan hold one is not allowed to keep a shtar perua in his house. Rabbi Yehuda holds a person is allowed to keep a shtar perua around, a shtar that's already been paid up. Why would you not be allowed to keep a shtar that's already been paid up? So the Gemara Maseches Ksuva says al tishkon ba'alecha avla, that it's considered a terrible avla to keep something like that in your house, because you could then go and collect with it a second time, and that would be stealing, that would be terrible. So you're not supposed to keep such a yetzer hara around, something like that, that may be used to collect with it a second time after you've already collected your money. That's what the Gemara Ksuvos gives, a list of items that might be considered an avla. Say for Torah that's missing a few letters is an avla, because it's puzzle, and you may misunderstand things that it says in the Torah because you're not getting the full picture of what the Torah presents. And a shtar perua is an avla. So that's the machlokas Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. If you look at the Gilyon HaShas on the side over here, he says Rabbanan Savri also lishos kashli hachazile limcho kashtar via mutula shoso latzal pitzolchiso. But even if it's so, what are we trying to say? Yeah, so it's also lishos shtar perua besoch beso. Good. So what? Therefore, the Rabbanan hold that if it's already a shtar perua, you're going to be pater for carrying it, because it's worthless. It doesn't mean anything to you. Frekta Bikive Eger, just because it's usher to keep around as a shtar perua doesn't mean it's worthless. You can erase it, and then it will be worth something to you. So the actual parchment may still be worth something to you, can still have value to you, you can still use it as a bottle cap. It's just that you're not allowed to leave it as a written shtar perua. You're going to have to get rid of whatever writing is on the shtar perua. So that's the kasha that Rabbi Kiva Eger asks. And the Ra'im Horovitz in the back of the Gemara, he's Mataritz's kasha. He says, Ayin Gili Nashas Rabbi Kiva Eger Hikshe Ta'achazi L'mocha V'ashoso L'atzral Pitzal Chiso V'tzarech Lomar Kivin Sh'neskalkel Mehechano Now, it was originally intended to be a shtar. It's no longer usable as a shtar. It's completely bad as a shtar. It's a terrible thing as a shtar. So until you do something to it, while it still has writing on it, we cannot yet look at it as just a piece of parchment. We can only look at it as a piece of parchment once you actually erase it. And he says, and that's also going to help us understand the second answer of the Gemara. So again, so far we had one answer. We wanted to know what is the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda, whether you're chayiv for carrying a shtar perua. So one possibility is whether a shtar perua is mutter to keep around at all. Second possibility, Abaye Yamar, four lines from the bottom of the page, to Kule Alma Asulish Shtar Perua. Everyone would hold you're not allowed to have a shtar perua around your house. Over here we're arguing if a lova is moda that he had written a shtar, whether it's tzarech l'kaimo, whether it needs to be mekuyim. Tanakama sover moda b'shtar shekasvu tzarech l'kaimo. Rabbi Yehuda sover moda b'shtar shekasvu ein tzarech l'kaimo. Umay ad shlo paro misha paro ad sheyomer lova parati v'lo parati. That the terminology over here, this Bryce is not arguing what we think they're arguing about. It's not about a shtar perua. It's not about whether the shtar has been paid or has not been paid necessarily. It's atcha amar lova prati. It's whether he had said that he has paid it up or not. So to understand this a little better, take a look at the bottom Rashi. B'moda b'shtar shekasvu halova moda shekasvu tzarech l'kaimo v'lomar lo parati. The love is moda that he wrote it up, so you have to be mekayim the shtar by saying, yes, not only did I write up the shtar, but I haven't paid it off yet, meaning I haven't paid the chov that it says in the shtar. V'kol kama d'lo amar hachi lav shtarahu. As long as he hasn't said that, as if he hasn't yet acknowledged that it's not yet paid, it's not a valid shtar. Ilav mishkach sadi lahakir achasima. Unless you could find witnesses to verify the shtar, deman kamashvile shtara, because who's the one that makes this a shtar in the first place? Lova, domer kasaftiv. The lova is the one that made it a shtar, because he's the one that admitted that he wrote it. So lova nami haka amar parati. So then the lova has every right to say, I already paid it up. As far as we know, without the lova, this never would have been a shtar in the first place. We wouldn't have trusted this shtar. So the lova tells us it is a shtar, so we believe him when he says parati, that he paid it up. Hapesha asar hu hapesha yitir. The same guy that told us this shtar has the right to tell us it's been paid. Hilkach mishaparo kolomar. So mishaparo means mishayomar parati potter. When you already said parati, when the lova said I already paid up the shtar, then you're going to be potter for carrying the shtar to lo tzarechle, because now it has no value, it has no use, you can't use it to collect anyway. Rabbi Yehuda savar ein tzarech l'kaimo. Rabbi Yehuda holds no. Once the lova says that I wrote this shtar, the lova does not need to say that lo parati in order for it to be a valuable shtar. The kivan de moda shekasvu the lova bo hareu ki ilu ki muach chosama v'gova bo kolzman shemotzio. Once the lova admits that he wrote it, it's as if it's had a kiyum shtaros, and therefore it's a valid binding shtar. We don't wait for the lova to say lo parati. It's a binding shtar anyway. So when the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda is, if you have a shtar that the only way we know that this is a valid shtar is by the lova telling us that it's a valid shtar, but the lova did not tell us that he hasn't paid it up yet, he may be claiming parati. So the Tanakama will say that when you carry such a shtar on Shabbos, you're going to be pater because it has no value until the lover says he hasn't paid it up. And Rabbi Yehuda would say, no, you're going to be chayiv. It is a very strong shtar, even if the lover did not tell us that he hasn't paid it up, even if he's claiming that he has paid up that shtar. So that's the second understanding of the machlokas. Third understanding, Rava Amar Dukuli Alma Moda B'Shtar Shekasvu Shetzarech L'Kaimo. Everyone agrees Moda B'Shtar Shekasvu, the Lova admitted that he wrote the Shtar, he needs to be Mekayim the Shtar by saying that he has not yet paid it up, otherwise the Shtar is useless. If it's useless, why would anyone say you're going to be Chayiv? V'hacha B'Kosvin Shover Kamiflagi. Over here they're arguing about whether you write a receipt for such a Shtar. Tanakama Sover Kosvin Shover, Rebutu Sover Ein Kosvin Shover. Tanakama holds you write a Shover, and therefore when the lover paid it up, and the malva carries it out on Shabbos, he's potter, because he has no use for it. He has no use for it anymore. That's the shita of the Tanakama. And Rabbi Yehuda would say, and Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that ain kos fin shover, and therefore it's still useful to prove that it's already paid up, because the only proof that you have that it's going to be paid up is if the malva has it in hand and he says, look, I have it, and therefore you see that it's already paid up. So that's the machlokas. Rav Ashi, our fourth possibility, that no, the machlokas is when the lova carries it outside, and why would the lova need it? Because he might need it to prove to other balechov that he's a trustworthy person. He says, look, I have a shtar and I pay up all my chovos, and I'm a trustworthy person, and therefore will help him in future business dealings to be able to show, to have a record of previous business dealings. So on that level, it's valuable, and that's why you might be that's why Rabbi Yehuda would say you're chayiv even after it's already been paid up. That's the mipnei shetzarich lo. That's what you need it for. So again, just basic machlokas Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda about a shtar parua, whether you chayiv or not, and four ways of understanding what exactly the machlokas is about, what they're really arguing about. Vayter in the Gemara now. Or kidei lasso. So we said that the Mishnah had said, how much or do you have to carry out? How much leather do you have to carry out in order to be chayiv for? So we said kidei lasso's kameya. We said the amount that you would need to make an amulet. So says the Gemara, by mine Rav Mir of Nachman, hamotzi or bekama. So he asked the shaila, how much or do you have to carry out in order to be chayiv? So right away that shaila should bother us because it's a beferish Mishnah. We just learned that it's kidei lasso's kameya. So zok Rashi, hamotzi or bekama. Well, it's sort of it's an icebreaker that we know this halach already. It says it in the Mishnah, but he wants to ask other questions also. So as a way of introducing the other questions, he starts with the basics. So he says, okay, let's start with what it says in the Mishnah, and then we'll work from there. So he asked him, how much or are you chayiv for carrying it out? Amar leik, itetnan or kedei lasos kameya, the amount that it takes to make a kameya. Good, that part we know. Now that he broke the ice, hama'avdo bekama. If you're ma'avid the or, if the or has already been tanned, so then what's the shear? Amalei loshna, same shear, the amount of or that's needed to make a kameya. Okay, li'avdo bekama. Let's say you have not yet tanned the or, but you plan on tanning the or. It's or ha'omid la'avdo, but you are not yet ma'avid it. So what's the shear then? Amalei loshna. Yeah, it's the size that you need to make a kameya. So minatemra, how can you say this? That apparently what we're suggesting is that, meaning, where do we ever find such a thing that prior to processing and after processing it has the same shear? That prior to being tanned, after being tanned, it has the same shear. Kiditnan, we have a Mishnah. Hamalabin vamenapetz vatzoveh vatoveh shiuro kumlo rochav asit kafel. What's the shear if you're malabin menapetz tzoveh? All of these different malachos on wool, the shear is always the same amount of wool. Kumlo rochav asit. Rash says a sit is kedei hefresh etzba mea ama. The difference between second and third fingers on your hand when you spread them as far apart as they can go from each other. So that's a sit. So sit kafel is twice that amount. So that's the shear. Va'orig beis chutin, and when you weave two strands, kimlo rochav asid kafel, it has that same shear. Alma, so what do you see from here? Kivan zilutviya kai shiura ketavui, that even thread that's not yet spun, since it is going to be spun, it has the same shear as that which is already spun. Meaning the point is, at earlier stages in its processing, it's going to have the same shear as something in later stages of its processing, even though it's somewhat counterintuitive. One probably would have thought that once it's already been processed, so it's more refined, it's better, and therefore even a smaller shear should be of value to you than something that's unprocessed. So, but nevertheless, that's what we see from here, that hachinami kiven de la avdo kai kishiru kumu ubad, when you have leather that is destined to become ubad, to become tanned, so it's as if it has the same shear as if it were already tanned. Vishalola abdo bekama, what if it's shalola abdo, what if it's not even omeid la'abed, it's not leather that's omeid to become tanned, some of the loshna, still the same shear. It's one thing to tell me that it's an earlier stage, a later stage, but you're not going to be mechalik at all between a mu'ubad and a mu'ubad. Is that really so? The Gemara is going to have three challenges to this, where we seem to say in other areas of halacha, whether it comes to making samanim, whether it comes to planting zaron egina, whether it comes to making cement, making tit, we're going to find three different areas. In all three of those areas, we're going to find that there is a chilik between that which is mu'ubad and that which is Einom Ubad. So how can you tell me that there's no chilek? So challenge number one, Eisvei Hamotzi Samanim Shruyin. If a person it carries out Samanim that are made to make a dye, so Kedei Litzvah Ben Dugma Li'ira. It's the amount that you need to be Tzoveya, to dye a little bit of wool that they use for the weaver's kli. But if it's not yet shruyin, if it hasn't yet been soaked, tanan klipei gozim klipei rimonim satim upua kedei litzba behen beged katan lepisavcha. Then the shear is going to be different. If it's not yet processed at all, if the dyes have not yet been worked on at all, they haven't yet been soaked at all, so then it's the amount that you would need to dye the top of a woman's hat, which is apparently a different shear, and it's a greater shear, which is what you would expect. It's a larger shear because it's unprocessed. In general, you would think something that's unprocessed would require a larger shear. So there you have it. So how can you say when it comes to when it comes to leather that whether processed, unprocessed, it's the same shear? So answers the Gemara: Ha'id Mar Ala Amar of Nachman Amar Rabba Ravua Lefi She'ein Adam Toreach Lishro Samanim Letzva Behen Dugma Leira. Now the point is that a person would not take the raw materials and use them just to make the Dugma Li'ira, just to make the smaller shear. He wouldn't dye anything just for that purpose. It's not worth beginning the process. But once it's done, it's certainly of value when you have enough dye to make the Dugma Li'ira. It's just that you wouldn't start the dyeing process for that purpose. And that's why it has different shiurim. But it is chashuv in its own right. And that's going to be the answer to all of the challenges, that the reason for the different the difference of shiurim is going to be what would motivate you to begin the process. Is it enough to motivate you to begin the process or not? Whereas by or, it's always enough to motivate you to begin the process, and therefore the shiur is going to be the same. But the second challenge, the Gemara says, "Vari zarone gina de mekami de zarinu tnan zarone gina pachas mikogrogros." That prior to planting it, we said that zarone gina the shiur is pachas mikogrogros. Rabbi Duda Mesera Omer Chamisha. Rabbi Duda Mesera says it's five seeds. And yet after it's already planted, once it's further processed, we learn Zevel v'chala daka delu zavelbo kelach shel kruv divrei Rabbi Akiva, that manure is the shear is as much as you need to treat a stalk of cabbage, according to Rabbi Akiva v'chamrom kedelu zavel krisha, that it's as much as you need to treat a leek. But the bottom line is that's a much smaller shear. And once it's already processed, once it's already planted, the shear is apparently much smaller. So again, answers the Gemara: Heit marala amrav papa hadizria. That there's a difference between planted and unplanted, because you wouldn't go through the trouble for the sake of Zriya for a smaller shear. That's why that explains the discrepancy between processed and unprocessed. And now the third and final challenge. Varetit, what about making cement? Mekami delig belay, before you mix the cement, Tanya modul chavna Rabbi Shimon v'motzi shofkul v'shasram shashirim v'revias. That if you're taking just dirty water out that you're going to use to make cement, so we said the chavna modul Rabbi Shimon, that the shear is going to be revias of that water. V'avinun v'shofkul v'maychaz, and we said, well, what are you going to use dirty water for? V'am Rabbi Yirmiel, gabal ben asetit, you're going to use it to make cement. V'ilu basar de gabla, yet after you've already mixed the cement, it's at a later stage in the processing. Tanya titka de lasos ben pikur. We said that it's a smaller shear. You only need the amount of cement, not a revius of water that would get mixed in with cement. You only need the amount of cement that it would take to fill in the pikur. So apparently that's a smaller amount. Why is it that at a later stage in processing it's a smaller amount? Aye, by the or, it's not a smaller amount. It's the same whether it's processed or unprocessed. Again, Again, same answer. Hasamnami kedamrin lefi shein adam tarech legavla satit dasos pikor. People wouldn't mix cement just to put the cement to fill in the pikor. They wouldn't bother beginning the process for that sake. And that's why the shear is different when it's processed or when it's unprocessed. Period. That concludes all of the challenges to this chilik between processed and unprocessed. Tashma. Now again, what we're really talking about over here is or. We're talking about hide, we're talking about cloth, something that you would write on. So he said the amount that you would use to make a kameya. So says Gemara, well, let's discuss what we know about cloth, the three stages in the processing of parchment. There are three oros. Three oros means three stages in the processing of parchment. Those stages are called matzah, v'chipa, v'diftera. And after you get past the diftera stage, then it's called klaf. So let's see. Matzah k'mashma'u. Matzah is like what you would think matzah is. Matzah is the most bland thing. It doesn't have nothing fancy done to it. Udlo maliach, udlo kamiach, udlo afitz. It's not salted. It's not treated with flour. It's not treated with gallnut juice. None of these things. The Mi'iri in Pesachim and Daflam Ches says that this is the basis for the minhag not to use salt with the matzah, because the definition of a hide of it that's matzah is udlo maliach. That it's not salted. So when it comes to the mitzvah of matzah and Pesach, we don't use salt with the matzah. It may also be a kiyum of lechemoni, not to use salt, not to be mivatel l'tam matzah. But this is, the Meiri says, based on the Gemara calls the part of the definition of that may be the reasons, but the definition of matzah is that it's lomaliach. So we don't use salt. Okay, v'kama shiuro, so what's the shear of matzah, of klaf, that's at this completely unprocessed stage for carrying out in Shabbos? So Tana Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yehuda, today lotzer bo mishkolas katana, the amount that you would need to wrap a small weight in it. That's the shear. V'kama, how much is that? Amar Abayi, riva de pumbedisa. It's a quarter of a liter of pumbedisa. Okay, X amount of shear. Chifa, what's the next stage in the processing? De maliach, it is treated with salt, v'lo kamiach v'lo afitz, but it's not treated with flour or with gallnut juice. V'kama shiuro, and what's the shear of such a partially treated hide? Or that's what our Mishnah says is or the amount that you would need to make a kameya, which apparently is a bit of a smaller shear because it's further treated. Diftera, the maliach v'kamiach below afitz. Diftera is at a further stage where it's maliach, it's kamiach, it's salted, it's treated with flour, but it's low afitz. It has not been treated with gallnut juice. V'kamashiro, they lichtov alav a get. And the shear is the amount of space that you would need to write a get on, which again is apparently even a smaller shear. What do you write a get on? What does it mean? How much space do you need to write a get? So our minhag is that a get is supposed to have 12 lines. First Tosfos Maseches Gittin says that the gematria of get, it's one of the gematria marmakamas said that we're about Rishonim use gematria, that gematria of get is 12, and therefore the minhag is that we make all gittin 12 lines. But really, meikar adin, what does a get really, really need in order to be kosher? So the Rashi points out, that's a Mishnah at the end of gittin, that gufo shall get is Hareyam uteris lekal adam ushmo ushma ve'edim vazman. That you need to write the words hareyam uteris lekal adam. You need to have husband's names, husband's name, wife's name. Now we do husband's names, every nickname, every this, every that. But basically, husband's name, wife's name, the edim, the date, and that's it. So it's not all that much information. And therefore, of all of the shiurim, of the different sizes of parchment, this is the smallest one so far. It's the most treated parchment. It's the one that's been most processed, most treated, and therefore, it requires the smallest shiur because it's the most chashuv. But wait a second, what did we say at the earliest stage? The earliest stage of the processing, we said it needs that the shear is going to be a very large shear. It's the amount that you're going to use, Lotzerbo Mishkolas Katana. So how can you tell me, processed, unprocessed, that it's always going to have the same shear of the kameya, that you would make the kameya? We see that at an earlier stage of the processing, it requires a larger shear to be chayiv. Varma by Riva de Pumbedisa. Say, answers the Gemara, Hasam bibishula. Now over there we're talking about where it's a moist parchment, and therefore it's not even ra'ui for ibud. It's not yet that it's not yet tanned. It's not even ra'ui to be tanned because it's still moist and it needs to be dry in order for ibud to happen. That's why it has a larger shear. But if it were ra'ui for ibud, it just didn't have the ibud done on it yet, then it would have the same shear of a kameya. Vatnan habegit shlosh al shlosh of the medrus. So when it comes to the shear of tumas medrus, we say that if you have beged, so the shear is 3x3. It's shlosh al shlosh etzbaos when it comes to the shear of tumas medrus. Hasak dalit al dalit. If you have sack, then the shear is a little larger. Haor hey al hey. If you have leather, it's a little larger. Mapatz vav al vav. Bein the medrus, bein the mace. And these shirim are both in regards to the minimum amount necessary to become tamei with tumas medrus, and the minimum amount necessary to become tamei with tumas mace. V'tani Allah, habeged v'asak v'or k'shir l'tuma, kach shir l'otza'a. But the bottom line is, we say over there that the same shir it has for tuma is the same shir that it should have for Hotzah's Shabbos. What you see is that a mu'ubad is that by mu'ubad, if you have a tanned leather, if you have an untanned leather, if you have a ha'or, we say that it's chamisha tfachim, and not necessarily the amount that you need to make a kameya. We have a totally different shear. So answers the Gemara, ha'hu bir kurtovla. No, that's talking about where it's boiled leather. Rashi says, kurtovla mevashlo barot chenu meskasha leishiv alav lechassos tlufkos shakorn that over there it's different. So I'm a boiled leather which can't be used to sit on normally, and since it can't be used to sit on normally, so it's not going to have the same shear as tumas medrus. That's when we say that it has this different shear of the amount that you need in order to make a kamei. Okay, cloth. Now we move on to, again, continuing to discuss issues of how much parchment, how much leather, different stages of processing. So we just discussed the first three stages of the processing of cloth. But then you get to cloth, where it's actually cloth. So the Mishnah said, cloth de lichtov lov parsha ketana. Once it's already fully treated, has a din of cloth, and then the shear is the amount that it takes to write a parsha ketana of tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael. So Uriminu asks the Gemara, cloth duchsustus k'dei lichtov lov mezuzah. That seems to be against the Braisa. The Mishnah said that how much cloth, the amount that you would need to write parsha ketana shabbat tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael. But here we have a Braisa that says that cloth and duchsustus, the shear is the amount that you would write a mezuzah on. So isn't that a stira? So answers the Gemara, no, you know what we mean by mezuzah? My mezuzah? Mezuzah shebet tefillin. When we say mezuzah, we mean the parchment of the tefillin. Sometimes we'll call the parshios of the tefillin mezuzah. It's a chiddush that you would call the parshios of the tefillin a mezuzah. So says Gemara, v'karilu the tefillin mezuzah? What? Whoever does that? Whoever calls the parshios and the tefillin a mezuzah? Yeah, we do that sometimes. But Tanya, we have a braisa that did just that. You'll see in the context of this braisa that we call the parshios of tefillin a mezuzah. Because the braisa tells us, ritzuos tefillin ima tefillin mitamos hasiyadayim. The braisa quotes us different shitos as to what is mitamos hasiyadayim. We know as part of the Yudchas Dover that we learned much earlier in the Masechta that certain kisvei HaKodesh are mitamos hasiyadayim, that when you touch them, it makes your hands tamei. It's a gzera midrabanan, because we don't want you to keep kisvei HaKodesh around truma, because if you keep kisvei HaKodesh around truma, then truma is food, so mice might get to it, and we don't want them to start eating into the kisvei HaKodesh. So one thing you're very careful about truma is the tuma status of truma. So you're going to keep anything that's tame away from truma. So they made a gezeira that kisvei HaKodesh are tame. They're going to make your hands tame, and therefore it's ironic. You would think that by saying that it's tame, it's lowering the level of kisvei HaKodesh. No, they're doing it to protect the dignity of the Kisvei HaKodesh, to say that it's Tameh. That way you won't keep it near food and it won't get eaten by mice. So Kisvei HaKodesh are Metameh Seidayim. What about tefillin? Which parts of the tefillin have the requisite amount of Kedusha to be Metameh your hands? So the Gemara has three opinions. The Brice has three opinions of which parts of the tefillin are Metameh Seidayim. Ritzuos tefillin and Metfillin Metameh Seidayim. If the Ritzuos are still connected to the tefillin, then the Ritzuos are Metameh Seidayim. Bifnei Atzman, Ein Metameh Seidayim. But Ritzuos tefillin on their own, if you just have Ritzuos, they're not mitami yisidayim. Reb Shimon Yehuda Omer Mishum Reb Shimon Hanogeh B'Ritzuah Tor Ad Sheiga B'Ktzitza. He says, now I don't care, even if the Ritzuos is connected to the tefillin, Ritzuos don't have the amount of Kedusha necessary to be mitami yisidayim Ad Sheiga B'Ktzitza. Only the bottom of the tefillin. The bottom of the tefillin have enough kedusha. That's already mitame yasiyadayim. Rabbi Zakkai Mishmo Amar Tahor Achiyiga b'mezuza atzma. What are we talking about? We're talking about tefillin. He says your hands are going to be tahor until they touch the mezuzah of the tefillin. What in the world is the mezuzah of the tefillin? So you see, obviously, that we're talking about parchment of the tefillin, the parshios of the tefillin, and we're going in the three shitos are going in level of severity. One says that just the ritzuos are ready mitami sedan, and the next one says the batim. What's more kadosh part of the tefillin than the batim? The parshios. So that's the third shita, the touching the parshios. But you see, it calls it mezuzah. So sometimes you use the word mezuzah to refer to the parshas of the tefillin. Says Gemara, that doesn't seem to work. The sefer of the Brisa goes on to say, klaf k'dei lichtov alav parsha k'tana shebetfillin shei shema Yisrael. That the shear of klaf is the amount that you would need to write the small parsha of tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael. Mechal de Reisha b'mezuzah atzma askinan, which makes it sound like the Reisha was not about tefillin, it was about the actual mezuzah itself. So now this is what it means to say. Klaf v'duch sustus shiurun bekama. We're trying to give two separate shiurim. The shiur of klaf and the shiur of duch sustus. They are both different parts of the klaf, meaning you take the animal skin and you cut it along its width. You peel it apart from each other. One half is called the klaf, the other half is called the duch sustus. They can both be used for writing different things. So it's trying to tell me what the shiur is for the klaf and the duch sustus. So klaf and duch sustus shiur bekama. Duch sustus k'dei lichtov of mezuzah. So the shear of the sustus is the amount that you would need to write a mezuzah. Klaf, k'dei lichtov parsha k'tana shebetfilin, shei Shema Yisrael. And klaf, to write the smallest parsha in the tefillin, which is Shema Yisrael. Meaning, duchsustus is the part of the parchment that's not ro'i to use for tefillin. It's only ro'i to use for mezuzah. And therefore the shear is to write a mezuzah. Which is a larger shear? To write a mezuzah, to write just the parsha of Shema Yisrael, so that's an easy one. Writing the parsha of a mezuzah is Shema Yisrael and Vayim Shema. So obviously mezuzah requires a larger shear than you need. When we say K'dei Lichtov La Mezuzah, we're talking about a larger piece of parchment than when we say K'dei Lichtov Parsha K'tana Shebet Tefillin. So when we're dealing with Duch Sustos, which you can't use for Tefillin, so what's the minimum shear that has any chashivas to you? The amount that you would need to write a mezuzah, because that's all you could do with it. But when you're dealing with klaf, which you could use for tefillin, so even a smaller shear that could just fit Shema Yisrael, even that would be enough to be chayiv. Cheshek Shlomo, again, in the back of the Gemara, raises the following question. We say that the Gemara asks the stira, that how could our Mishnah say that klaf is the shear is to write just, what?
It's Shal Rosh, no? It's the same size. Shema Yisrael and the Rosh is the same size as Shema Yisrael and the Mitzvah.
No, we're saying Shema just the parash of Shema. When we say they look at the parash of Ketan Shabbat, we mean just that parsha, as opposed to by the mezuzah, the amount of space you would need for both, right? For both parshias. So that was the steer that we asked. That how could the Mishnah say the amount that you would need to write just one parsha, and yet in the Bryce it says the amount that you would need to write two parshias. So he says hinei reisi bekisve mar achi. This is Cheshek Shlomo writing that he says, I saw my brother's writings, Hagon Zatzal, Shaheir Dildas HaRamzal Perkal Milchus Tefillin Alecha Yiralef, De Mezuzah Lo Boi Ibud L'Shma. So Mezuzah, he says, the Rambam writes, Mezuzah does not require Ibud L'Shma to prepare a cloth for Mezuzah. So why don't we just answer, Lishni B'Pshitus? Why doesn't the Gemara answer very simply that the Braisa is talking about where Yemotzi, instead of distinguishing between cloth and Duchsustus, which we said, okay, Duchsustus can't be used for tefillin, can only be used for mezuzah, we have a basic distinction to make. Why don't we say the Brice is talking about where your motzi klaf she'enu mu'ubad l'shem kedusha del tefillin lo chazia, ul mezuzah chazia. Say that we're dealing with klaf that's not mu'ubad l'shma, so you can't use it for tefillin, and that's why it has a larger shear, because it can't be used for tefillin, it can only be used for mezuzah. So that's why the shear is k'dei lichtov lo mezuzah. But the Mishnah is talking about klaf that had ibud l'shma, l'shem kedushas tefillin, and therefore since it had ibud l'shma, it can be used for tefillin, and therefore the shear is going to be based on usage for tefillin. So he's mitarets the ilu be'enu mu'ubad l'shem kedusha Adrab Chayev Bishira Zuta. He says, no, if it's not yet been Mu'ubad Lashem Kedusha, then the shear is not going to be a larger shear. The shear is going to be an even smaller shear. The Kesher Mochsin, the Royhu, the Kesher Mochsin. If you haven't been Ma'abid at Lishma, then you have no need to use it for either of these things. You don't have to use it for any sort of Kedusha. You could use it for something even smaller, for something that has no Kedusha at all, like a receipt for paying the toll bridge, which is, it could become Chashuv. Once you Ma'abid at Lishma, sends a Bizayin, you can't go use it for something else that's not Kedusha. So then the minimum shear is going to have to be in some Kedusha usage. But if you're talking about something that's not even Mu'ubad Lishma, so then the shear doesn't become this this larger shear of writing an entire mezuzah. The shear becomes a smaller shear of writing a Kesher Mochsin. So that's what he says he saw in his brother's writing. But he says, Amnam, Ipcha Kashali, he says, I have the exact opposite Kasha. Diladasa Sovram de Mezuzah Nami by Ibul Lishma. What if your whole mezuzah also requires Ibul Lishma? So then we should have a simple answer. Lishni da Braisa Mari Beklavshi Ibdo Lashem Mezuzah. What does Ibul Lishma mean? It means Ibul Lishem that Kedusha. So if you are Ma'abed a piece of Klaf, Lishem Kedushas Mezuzah, what can you do with that piece of Klaf now? You can't use it for Tefillin. It's not holy enough to be used for Tefillin. Tefillin requires Ibul L'shem Kedushas Tefillin. You did this L'shem Kedushas Mezuzah. Can you use it for Kesher Mochsin? No, because you already attached Kedusha to it. You already were Ma'abid L'shma. So all you can use it for is Mezuzah. So why don't we give that answer? Why don't we say that the answer is, that's the Kasha that he has, that he leaves at the Tzarechin. Why don't we say that it's talking about where you're Ma'abid L'shem Kedushas, that the Mishnah is talking about where you're Ma'abid L'shem Kedushas Tefillin, Bryce is talking about where you're Ma'abid L'shem Kedushas Mezuzah, and that's why they give different shiurim, because they have different limitations of what they can be used for. Okay, weiter in the Gemara, continuing the discussion of Duchsustus and Klaf, Amar Rav. So Rav has this somewhat cryptic statement, and there are two ways to understand Rav based on two opinions in Tanaim. So let's see, Amar Rav, Duchsustus harei klaf. Duchsustus is like Klaf. What does that mean? Ma Klaf calls for love tefillin. After Duchsustus calls for love tefillin. Just like you're allowed to write tefillin on klaf, you're allowed to write tefillin on duchsustus, which is against what we just said, right? We just said in Braisa that there's this din that you're not supposed to write that duchsustus is kosher for mezuzah, but it's not kosher for tefillin. So what Rav is saying is, yeah, that means that duchsustus is ideal for mezuzah. It's not ideal for tefillin, but it would still be kosher for tefillin. It's not klaf kdei licht of parsha katana shabat tefillin shi shema Yisrael. Klaf in Duchsustus low. But wait a second, so the Gemara asked that Kasha. Wait, we said that the shear of Klaf is to write Parsha Ketana Shabbat Tefillin. But Duchsustus, the shear is not Parsha Ketana Shabbat Tefillin, because you're not supposed to write Tefillin on Duchsustus. So how can Rav tell me that you write Tefillin on, that Tefillin is kosher on Duchsustus? So says the Gemara, L'mitzvah. Rav is just telling me that, yes, there is a halacha l'Moshe Misinai, that you're supposed to write that Duchsustus should not be used to write Tefillin, but that's all the Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is telling me, that it should not be used, not that it cannot be used. That as a B'diavet, it would still be kosher. Rashi in Sanhedrin, the Mem Ches, and the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, third paragraph of Hilchos Tefillin, seem to strongly imply that anything that's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is always Ma'akev. That Halacha L'Moshe Misinai in general is never just L'mitzvah. It's always La'akev. And so you have to say over here that this is part of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, is that it should only be L'mitzvah. Meaning if we just have something that there's a din Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, so then the automatic assumption is that it's Ma'akev. So you have to say over here is that this is part of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, is that this is not Ma'akev, is that it's only L'mitzvah, it's only a din L'chadchila. Tashma. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai Tefillin al Klaf Mezuzah al Duchsustus. So Gemara says, bring a raya. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai is Tefillin can be written on Klaf, Mezuzah is written on Duchsustus. Klaf b'makom basar, Duchsustus b'makom ser. And then it defines the terms, which is a little late. We could have used this definition a while ago, but it defines the terms of what's not defines the terms. It tells us where you would write on the different parts. Meaning, like I said before, you take the animal's hide and you cut it along its width. So, like, you peel the outer part from the inner part. So the klaf. The Braisa tells us that the klaf you write b'makom basar, which means the klaf is the outer part of the hide, and you would write on the inner side of the klaf. The duchsustus is the inner part of the hide, and you would write b'makom seir. You would write on the outer part, the part that was facing the outside of the body. The part of the duchsustus, basically, when you're cutting it, when you're peeling it off each other, you write on the part that's peeled off, that was connected to the other part. Meaning you write on the parts that were attached to each other. So, but bottom line is, you see that it's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So it says, yeah, l'mitzvah. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai, but it's just l'mitzvah, like we pointed out before, that you have to say that's part of the halacha l'moshe m'sinai. V'atanya shina pasul. Aye, but it says if you do different, it's going to be pasul. So how can you tell me that if you take the duchsustus and use it to write tefillin, it's kosher? It says beferish that if you alter the uses of klaf and duchsustus, it's pasul. So it says gemara a mezuzah. Now that's not about mezuzah. That means if you write a mezuzah on klaf, it's pasul. But if you write tefillin on duchsustus, that's still kosher. Vatan yeshina bazeh ubazeh pasul. Yeah, but we have another braisa that says if you change either one, it's pasul. It says bazeh ubazeh. Say idivi idia mezuzah. No, that's both bazeh ubazeh is both talking about mezuzah. Vada kasvinu aklaf b'makom seyar. So it's saying that if you write it shina bazeh ubazeh, if either you write the mezuzah on klaf or if you write the klaf b'makom seyar. So I'm sorry, if you write it on the klaf b'makom seyar, inami aduchsustus b'makom basar, or you write on the duchsustus and the makom basar, either one is going to be possible. Because remember, the klaf was where you're supposed to write b'makom basar. The duchsustus is makom seyar. So if you write on the right part of the klaf, but you wrote, you write on the wrong part of the klaf, or you write on the wrong part of the duchsustus, so that's going to be possible for tefillin. That's all it's saying. Not that you can't use klaf for tefillin, not that you can't use klaf for mezuzah, you can use klaf for mezuzah, but you can't use the wrong part of the klaf, nor can use the wrong part of the duchsustus. But it's both talking about in terms of mezuzah. But when it comes to using duchsustus for tefillin, that's okay. Or it could be that that's really subject to machlokas tanaim, meaning whether you can use duchsustus for tefillin is really machlokas tanaim. Detanya, shina bazeh ubazeh pasul. Rabbi Acha machshir mishum Rabbi Acha bar Chanina. Rabbi Acha said that it's kosher when it's shina bazeh ubazeh. Va'armila mishum Rabbi Yaakov bar Chanina. Some say he said the name of Rabbi Yaakov bar Chanina. Rav Papa amar Rav da amar ketanu debei Menashe. Rav Papa says, no, Rav says ketanu debei Menashe, meaning up until now, how do we explain Rav? Rav had this statement that duchsustus is like cloth. So we thought that that meant that you're allowed to write tefillin on duchsustus. So Rav Papa says, no, that's not what Rav is saying. Rav is not telling you can write tefillin on duchsustus. What Rav is teaching you is ketanu debei Menashe. The ketanu debei Menashe, kasva al niyar ve'al matlis psula. If you write it on niyar or on matlis, it's pasul. Al cloth ve'al gvil ve'al duchsustus, ksheira. But if you write it, and again, we haven't defined it yet, writing what, but if you write it on klaf, or gvil, or duchsustus, it's all kosher. So apparently klaf and duchsustus are both kosher. What are we talking about? Kasva mai, what did you write? Ile mezuzah, mezuzah klaf mikasvinan, elulav tefillin. It can't be talking about mezuzah, because you don't write mezuzah on klaf. So it must be that we're talking about tefillin. So it says, Maral taimeich, tefillin agvil mikasvinan? But wait, can you write tefillin on gvil? It says the gvil is also kosher. Elikitanya hi b'sefer Torah. So no, that must be talking about a sefer Torah. That when we talk about gvil, that must be talking about writing on a writing a sefer Torah. Lem m'sayele kiyotzi bo tefillin shabala v'sefer Torah shabala ein osim mehen mezuzah l'fisha ein moridim mikdusha chamur l'kdusha kala. That if you have a tefillin that are worn out or a sefer Torah that's worn out, you're not allowed to turn it into a mezuzah, because you're not allowed to be morid something from a more severe level of Kedusha, like the Kedusha of a Sefer Torah, to a lower level of Kedusha, like the Kedusha of a Mezuzah. So what's the whole problem? Time of Ein Moridin. The whole problem that you can't take Tefillin or a Sefer Torah, turn it into a Mezuzah, is because you're not allowed to lower its level of Kedusha. But it sounds like physically there's nothing wrong with this parchment to be used for Tefillin. Ha Moridin Osin. So, but if you were able to be morid, it would be okay. So Dixiva Amai, what was it written on? Lav Dixiva Duchsustus. Aren't we talking about where it was written on duchsustus? So don't you see that duchsustus is kosher to write tefillin on? Otherwise, how could you be married anyway to use it for mezuzah? Says more lo duchsiv ala cloth. No, maybe we're talking about where it's written on cloth. Umezuzah cloth mikasvinan. What, can you write mezuzah on cloth? How could you take a cloth and use it for mezuzah anyhow? In vatanya kasval klaf al niyar val matlis psula. That if you write it on a cloth, In the Aramatlis, it's possible. Amr Bshim Lazar, Rabbi Meir, Hayu Kosva ala Klaf, Mepresha Mishtameres. There you have it. Rabbi Meir Shita is that you are allowed to write Mezuz on Klaf. It's better, it stays better that way, and therefore you can write Mezuz on Klaf. Ah, Hasha Das Lahi, Larav Nami, Lotema Duxustus Areuka Klaf, Ela Ema, Klaf Areuka Duxustus. So now we understand the second understanding of Rav. Rav is not telling me that Duxustus is like Klaf, in that you can write Tefillin on Duxustus. No, what he's telling me is that you can write a mezuzah on Klaf. Ma Duxustus Kosvin Love Mezuzah, just like you're allowed, you can write a mezuzah on a Duxustus, Af Klaf Kosvin Love Mezuzah. So to on Klaf, you're allowed to write a mezuzah. Okay, stop there.